Accession number 27338, Reel 11.
This is the sixth reel of a taped interview with Joan Dowson in her home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 6th of the 9th, 2004, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Joan, you were wanting to read an excerpt from your diary extract as you reached Moratai. Explain, give us the date and read us the extract then.
Well, Wednesday the 28th of November, 1945, arrived in Moratai and saw an erupting volcano and the 2nd 9th AGH in the distance. 180 men were suddenly taken ill from food poisoning and we had a busy morning. Joe and Elizabeth went with Twist, as one of the officers, onto one picnic. I drew for the captain's picnic, and Schooley, Navigator, etc. Mary Grant went also with the captain's picnic. He was a very good host and spent very happy afternoon. Had to be towed part of the way and saw several butterfly mines, etc. Naval cutter called and picked us up, and just as we wanted to sail home again, Captain said he would like a few days in Perth, and I could go if the women were going. John Hall and Barnett set sail by themselves. In the evening, the same lad who paddled out gave Neil Backhouse paddled out to the ship, gave Neil Backhouse a message. She was a girl at the 2nd 9th AGH who'd been with us in the Middle East. She and Evelyn and Sister Parrish came out in the evening. We had to lend them officers' boots because they were treated as ORs. Terrific thrill to see them, but had to leave 9:30 p.m.
We've spoken about you coming back to Australia, and I wanted you to read a couple of excerpts from your diary. Let's read those extracts from your diary on your return home to Sydney. Give us the dates.
Wednesday the 5th of December 1945. Troops preparing to go. Awful this ruddy packing again once more. Hate it like hell. Men wearying of us. Very rough and felt very queer. Played backgammon with the chiefy and won twice. Joined the boys later. And Jay, very peculiar, or am I? Had a Scotch reel, and Sister Grant saw John and very sorry. VAD to mess. That was the Wednesday. Thursday, the 6th of December, arrived 9 a.m. Mr. Hudson arrived in Sydney 9 a.m. Mr. Hudson said Elizabeth going to England and Jean to Hong Kong, the Red Cross workers. Letters there from Gordon, Jim and four from Mother, and John Dowson home. He just arrived back from India. Dennis expected letter.
Let's talk about coming home in relation to being home. You were being asked by a lady to join another hospital. Who was she?
Mrs. Moore of the Red Cross wanted me to go to Goulburn, which is a psychiatric hospital, and I had to decide very quickly. Feel very weary and miserable. Called ES the and got money. Went with Pilot and Schooley for a swim and called to see Dawn Fraser. Chatted to George, it said, and wired and tried to ring home. So damn negative myself, I feel I'm going nuts. That's silly.
How do you explain this sort of negativity that you're feeling, this miserable sense that you're feeling?
I just think that we were tired out.
You mentioned some of these things that you've been experiencing recently. You've just seen a volcano erupting on Moratai. What did that feel like to see this sort of amazing thing?
Well, we just took it as another very interesting event in life, I think. So many things were happening.
That is something that I'd like to talk about. The fact that here you are, okay, you've seen the world because there is a war on. You possibly would not have seen as much of the world as you have in this short space of time had there not been a war. Wars are a very awful thing. To what degree do you look back on the experiences that you had during the war as an adventure, as a fun time?
Well, I felt that we were very lucky to be selected in the beginning because that was the ultimate you felt you could do with our boys, and you just take the others for granted. It's part of a new life.
You've seen North Africa, you've seen New Guinea, you'd gone to the island of the Pacific, you'd seen Singapore, Bombay, Batavia, to name just a few places. To what degree was there a sort of sense of letdown on coming home after all of that, do you think?
Well, I suppose we just didn't have the future. We wondered what would happen after that. I mean, do you carry on working or do you get another new life?
Well, I wanted you at this point, if you could, to read us this little letter that you write to your mother, and parts of it are to deal with keeping in touch with her and that sort of thing. But there are excerpts in there too. So let's read the whole letter.
Well, this is written the evening of the 13th of December, 1945. It has still been suffocating all day, but we have been promised cooler weather tomorrow. I feel pretty clapped out in the heat. Phew, Mum, dear, another beaut yellow envelope letter. The post he still wants to believe it is you. He won't believe it is you. Had also a letter from Jim Trevivian, now in Adelaide, and only shot straight through. Unfortunately, had a note from Joan Bucknell, says Red Cross, saying she had forgotten to give me a message from Plum, saying he had tried to ring me several times. 9:00 p.m. Had just spoken to you, but sorry you couldn't hear me. It was great to hear your voice. And John too. I hope you understand, Mother, that I had no choice in whether I stay or not. They have not got a posting for me in Red Cross, as several hospitals are closing and they can't fit their own people in. Beryl Payne was sent here especially from Adelaide to help while they were busy, and she is now going in a few days because the social service workers from Goulburn are coming here. She is very disappointed as she doesn't want to go back. I will have to get out soon and fit in civilian life, and it isn't much sense delaying this evil hour evil arm of Master. Present idea is that I have 9 days due, maybe 6 days for Christmas. Equals 15. Of course, with being held up, I may miss seeing John and that, at that rate. Don't you still think I could do worse, Mum, though? She said that because I'd always been fond of him and I'd just given up thinking about him. Though I must admit I have no aspirations. Anyway, anyone else would be glad to have folks out of the army, but I generally am much nicer when I'm away, aren't I? And I haven't changed. I should have said, the patient said, put my age up. Who's Picky engaged to? I was given a map on board ship of our trip. Does John Dowson get bored? Imagine you are right about Gwen, about queer men, Daddy. Friday the 18th. Ollie and Mrs. Graham rang and I'm meeting her in town tomorrow night. All the old sisters are beginning to go out of the army. Don't know what on earth to do when I get out except have a good rest and holiday. We'll try to have some ballet lessons in Melbourne, and it would at least be a good thing and help expenses, but would then come home first and go back to Melbourne for a few months. What do you think? Could then stay in Adelaide. All my love, if only John were held up until mid-March, everything would be grand. Treasure shops. I'm sorry if I disagree about remaining in the army, but I have no choice and guess I can find a job somewhere. They're doing what I don't know. Love from Mother. And the John mentioned happened to have his ship delayed from going back to India. And that was my husband.
So there is this sort of disappointment, I sense, in the fact that the war is over and you're not needed anymore.
Yes. Wondering what to do.
People talk of a sort of sense of letdown, of you've seen the world, you've seen an amazing, you've had an amazing adventure, whether it be a mixture of good and bad or not. What was it like to come back to Perth? Come back, it's a beautiful place, but what was it like to come back to Perth?
Well, it was really wonderful to come back to the family and have some home life. But it was just natural to wonder what on earth you do next. Your options aren't as good as they were when you first started off with.
My impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, my impression is that once war is over, particularly for the women, there wasn't so much support for you as there might have been for the men. Am I right, do you think?
No, I think you're right, yes. The men thought the world of us in the hospitals. But they soon had to get on with their own lives. And they had their own problems and adjusting to life with a family. And which we didn't have.
The support for women, you mentioned there's the pensions for men, having their pay books made up, all those sorts of things. Was that there for women in the same way?
Well, a lot of the good firms made up the pay for the men and the women while they were overseas. But unfortunately, my firm didn't. So the men had been getting full wages all the time there is. And we could go back, but you didn't have the chance of being in the same job that you were was such as a senior. But that's understandable after 5 years. But the men were, I later did a big inquiry into the ex-service women, pointing out how few of them either had few children or their health wasn't good, and that they didn't have anything, opportunity of making money like the men did, of having something put away. So we did get benefits then for returned ex-service women.
But which that was sometime later on.
Yes.
When would that have been, roughly?
I'm not sure. No.
A decade.
When I was when the state executive of the RSL, about 20, 25 years ago.
So we're talking in the 80s. That's considerably, that's a long time since the war had finished. Well, on your return, how would you have rated the sort of sense of appreciation shown to women like yourself?
Well, we didn't think of it then. We were too anxious to be home and get adjusted ourselves. But it was only just as years went by that they didn't really recognise the women, the ex-service women.
Why do you think that was the case?
I think it's very natural because they had their own careers and families to get adjusted to, and that was very difficult for a lot of them.
I wanted to get your impression of the recognition that has been shown to the VADs. You mentioned it was, you know, some 40 years before it was seen that women that helped in the army, helped during the war, were given any kind of financial assistance. What of the recognition that you felt, saw?
I think the women felt very much that they'd been forgotten. It's only in the last 10 years that the memorial was built in Canberra for the returned sisters, and it was just fortunate that the RSL supported us in having inscribed on it that they could not have managed without the VADs and nursing orderlies, because we had worked side by side with the sisters in the Middle East and New Guinea and taken charge of wards and done all the nursing jobs. So that was... But very few... There are more and more memorials being... little ones being put up in towns, but nobody knows who VAD was now.
I find that very hard to understand. And I'm interested that you mentioned there was this sort of lack of recognition. My impression is that you came home from the war, everyone said, thank you very much, love your work, here's a job in a hospital if you want it. But tell us about that. You were offered work in a hospital, a military hospital. What was that about?
But that was a continuation of my work with the Red Cross Field Force. But once I got out of the Red Cross Field Force, I was no longer in the army. Although we became under army rules, we were entirely reliant on the Red Cross. And of course they didn't have many military hospitals then, after the war.
What was the military hospital that you were asked to
It was the Goulburn Psychiatric Hospital. And I felt that I couldn't stand that after what we'd been through. I had been in long enough.
What was it like to finally get your discharge?
Well, it was really marvellous to feel that you were once more a civilian and didn't have regulations and could look to the future.
You'd had quite a lot of responsibility in your work. You'd, as I understand, been in charge of the Red Cross women on board the Formidable. Coming back to a civilian way of life, was that a difficult process, given the fact that you had had important jobs to do, you had had important positions?
Yes, I didn't think of it like that, because I was fortunate. I got married, but I would have been had all those troubles if I'd decided to still continue with a career.
What was the feeling in the air following the end of the war?
Well, terrific relief, I think, naturally. But then there was a lot of concern as to what was the future, what did they do, what did... They were very good, the government gave you re-establishment money, which meant, say, for instance, I'd done ballet, they would have supported me going to Melbourne, and they supported you if you'd been a typist of doing refresher work, and the men, they helped you as much as they could. But of course, a lot of them wanted different careers, not to go back into the old 5 years later, same old job.
Mm. You've been mentioning, obviously, the sort of future. What would the future bring? It wasn't all that long after the Second World War that there was the Korean War, this problem with Russia and the Cold War. Was that something that was felt in Australia?
Well, I'd say the Vietnam War. Korea was first, but which concerned us, but there weren't so many men involved in that. But with Vietnam, of course, there was a lot of bitterness because they had compulsory service and nobody knew whose son would be selected. So that was a very unhappy time.
But here we are, the Second World War is gone, we've got all sorts of conflicts around the world, even today. When you look back, what do you think the Second World War achieved, if anything?
Well, it saved Australia for Australians. There's no doubt about that, because we're either, if we had lost the Battle of El Alamein, Germany would have won the war, almost undoubtedly. It was the first setback that they'd had when Rommel was defeated in the desert. And then if we had the Japanese sort of with their ships and ideas of invading Australia. So we're very, very lucky to be where we are.
You were to continue on with your work for the Red Cross, and obviously for your work concerning ex-servicemen and women.
Yes.
Well, how important has that been for you to continue your contact with these services?
Oh, very important. Because that's what you know mostly after 5 years in the services. And you realise what the disadvantages women had, because you find very few sisters who are well off, you know, like the men are, because they haven't got the capacity to save. And men all help each other with cuts and things.
People, men, the men that I've interviewed, talk of this sort of comradeship that they still have with one another from those few years of suffering.
Mm.
Some not so many years, of contact with one another during the Second World War. Is that the same with the women that you were associated with?
Yes, very much so, especially with hospital units, because we still continue to have reunions and contact letters throughout Australia.
You were to receive an MBE in 1980. Tell us about that. What was that for?
Well, that was a great surprise, and that was for work with the RSL and Red Cross and Cancer Committee. But I was very fortunate to receive that.
Tell us about the receiving of the MBE.
Well, it was a very exciting day. You're only allowed to have two guests, and the governor had just arrived for a new appointment, and it was done in the gardens of Government House. And I had worked, we'd had work with the Sheraton, with our Red Cross, to and had the official opening out by Red Cross, and we were given the suite, top suite, for a lunch party. So that was very exciting too, after the award.
In 1996, you were given the Medal of Australia. What did that mean to you?
That was a great surprise and excitement too, because it was an Australian award, and it was unlucky that the Governor, Major General Mark Jeffries, had to go down to a church service when they had the dreadful accident down south, when the sand hill fell down and killed those people.
So he wasn't there to present it to?
No.
Given that it was an Australian award, why was that more important, do you think?
It wasn't more important, but it was a great thrill to receive an Australian award as well as the British one.
So there has been some recognition for the work that you've been involved with, for the work that other women have been involved with during their time in World War Two.
Mm-hmm.
In looking back at your time during World War Two, do you think you would have done anything differently?
No, we just did the best we could, and we felt we were very lucky to have that opportunity.
If someone in 100 years' time that you don't know listens to your tapes, what would you hope that they would get out of hearing your story?
I just hope that they'd understand a lot of us did all that we could, and we managed to save Australia from invasion, originally from England being taken over by Germany with the battle in the Alamein, when we defeated Rommel in the desert. And then secondly, the danger we were in with Japan, which he was very, very close to invading Australia. So we've had comparative peace and nobody on our shores fighting. And we just did the best we could for that time.
Joan, I'd like to thank you very much for all of your help and finish the interview there.
Thank you very much. Thank you, John. You've been a wonderful interviewer.